Hello, Stuart here from Carey Baptist Church here in Moulton. I'm just by myself today as Judy isn't well. So without further ado, it's good to be back again after having been away for a couple of Sundays. And let's commit this time to God in prayer. Loving God, we commit this time into your love and care. And I pray for each person listening at home to this time of worship, that you would draw near to them, that you would speak to them, that you would encourage them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, the reading is from Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 24. Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 24. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought five yoke of oxen and am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I have just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out into the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray as we reflect upon it, that by your Spirit it will become a living word for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've been away for two Sundays. The first Sunday I was at home, but I was participating in the Baptist Assembly online. And last Sunday I was up in Edinburgh visiting my parents for the first time for a long while. And I'd like to express a thank you to the two Stuarts who covered for me, Stuart Jenkins and to Stuart Carr. So after a two-week gap, we're going back to the series that we were working on about building community. And we'll finish that series this week. In previous weeks, we were looking at sharing kingdom stories, kingdom identity, and working for the kingdom. This week, we'll look at the joy of the kingdom, especially expressed in eating and feasting together. The kingdom of God is often expressed in the idea of a messianic banquet. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah 25, verses 6 to 9, there's this image. "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. So we have a picture here where at the end, God destroys death, and there will be a feast with good food and good wine. I like that idea. Turning to Jesus, Jesus seemed to have spent a lot of time eating and drinking with people, and often the wrong type of people. In Luke 15, the first couple of verses, it says, now the tax collectors and sinners were gathering all around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So Jesus here is hanging out with the wrong type of people, welcoming sinners and eating with them. And when you share your table with them, it's a sign that they are welcome and they are accepted. I think Jesus spent a lot of time eating and drinking, and we have an accusation against him in various places in the gospel, but one of them is from Matthew 11, verses 19, where it says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is proved right by her deeds. Jesus is accused of being a glutton and a drunkard. I don't think he was either, but he must have enjoyed his food and his wine. There was probably an element of truth in this accusation. In the parable before us, we have a banquet, a big feast is prepared, and lots of guests are invited. It says in Luke 14:16, and Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. It was usual practice to invite people first and then to call them when all the preparations were ready. And when everything's ready, the master sends out his servant to invite people and say, come, for everything is now ready. The servant is sent out to call those who have already been invited. And they all begin to make excuses, but none of the excuses are valid. There are valid excuses. If a close member of family had died, or if someone is ill, or there's something that's very important that someone needs to do, but the excuses they have here are not in that category. And it was a big insult to receive and to accept an invitation and then to make excuses and not to come when you are invited at the end. So the servant comes back and reports to his master in verse 21. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly to the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. The master could have gone in vengeance, but what he does is invite other people. He invites the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame, the marginalized, those who could not afford to invite him back. And even after he's done this, the servant says, there's still more room. So then the master, who wants a full house, says in verse 23, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. Now, compel here doesn't mean coerce, and sometimes the church has used this verse as if you should coerce those who are different from you, who may be heretics, like St. Augustine in the fourth century used this verse to say that you should coerce the heretics, the Donatists at the time, to actually come back into the church by violence. Or we can think of forced conversions of Jews, or in ways which native peoples have been forced to convert to Christianity at different times in history. It's always an invitation. They're not forced against their will. They are strongly urged to come, perhaps because they didn't think themselves worthy of coming to the feast, that they had to be won over to realize that, yes, they really were invited to the feast. We see that eating together was important for Jesus. And it's still problematic for us at the moment to eat together in big groups. We can't even have tea and coffee and biscuits after church, never mind lunch clubs or shared meals or burn suppers or harvest suppers. And we look forward to days when we can share tea and coffee and meals together. What better way to feed yourself and your soul by sharing food together? When I was back in Edinburgh, we had Sunday lunch with my mum, my dad, my sister, my nephew, and my niece. The food was great. Roast beef, roast potatoes and vegetable, cheesecake, and a special cake my niece Lydia had made. I hadn't seen them for about 20 months or so, so that made the meal all the more special. And I will cherish the memory of that meal. I think all meals are potentially sacramental. We share more than food when we gather around a table together. We share life with each other, its joys and its sorrows. And God is there in the midst of the feast, the same Jesus who used to enjoy hanging out round meal tables is there risen at our table. And especially if we consciously invite him in by prayer, by saying grace, by blessing the food. But nevertheless, Jesus is the uninvited guest at each table. And especially when we gather to worship him and remember him as we break bread and drink wine, to remember him and all that he has done for us. I miss eating and drinking with people. And we can cautiously begin to do that again. As we do, remember Jesus, the center and life and soul of the party. He is there in our midst, but he wants us also to be like the host in the parable, to be party hosts who go out and invite others into the joy of the kingdom of God, inviting others to come and know God's love and forgiveness in Christ, and to enjoy even now the party of forgiveness and joy, and one day in all its fullness, when death is defeated, we will sit down round the table with Jesus, with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and our joy will know no end. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that the image or picture of the kingdom of God is like a feast, where there is good food and good drink. Help us to enjoy the meals that we share with our friends and neighbours. And help us to invite others to eat and drink with us, that we can share life with them and share your love with them, that they can come to know the joy of being members of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Because it's my first week back from holiday, I've not been as organized this week, so I haven't invited someone to do the intercessory prayers, so I'm just going to pray them myself. I'll leave spaces for you to pray as well, because we can't name specific people online, but I'll leave some space for you to do that. So let us pray. Father God, this is quite a difficult and an anxious time. We're still not fully out of the pandemic, and although we thank you that there are less cases and less deaths, there's still worries about the Indian variant And we have our anxieties about opening up again, meeting again, being with people again, being in houses again. We have anxieties about this. So we pray for those who are anxious and worried, those who are frightened, those who are weary about venturing out. Give them wisdom and courage at this time. We remember people on our hearts and minds at this moment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we give you thanks for the Boys' Brigade and the Girls' Brigade, that they are able to meet together. We pray for them and their leaders and helpers and the boys and girls week by week. We pray that you would strengthen them, that you would keep them safe, and that they would know your protection and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for Todd-Lynn opening up now with limited numbers, but we pray for safety and protection, and we pray your blessing upon the children as they gather, and the parents and the carers, that that place will be a place of a sanctuary and a safe space for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the deacons meeting this week as we look to the future and opening up again. Give us wisdom and guidance, and lead us as we seek to be open to you and your purposes for us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for Jeff Colmer, the Baptist Union president. We pray for him as he recovers from his treatment, and we pray for him in that role this year. Strengthen him and help him to know when to say yes and when to say no to the invitations that he receives. And we thank you that he is in remission at the moment, and we pray that that would continue. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in a moment's quiet and silence, we bring our own needs and concerns to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for our government. We pray for Boris Johnson. We pray for Matt Hancock as the health secretary and the difficult decisions that they have to make in the coming days as they deal with the still dangers of the COVID, especially the Indian variant, but also as you seek to open up the wider economy at this time. Help them to make the right decisions and give them the wisdom that they need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we thank you that the ceasefire between the Israelis and the Palestinians seems to be holding at the moment, but we pray for a longer term political and diplomatic solution to some of the underlying causes of that conflict. We pray for the Israeli government, we pray for the Palestinian side as well. We pray for the United States as they seek to bring pressure to bear in that situation and to build bridges. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the situation in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, of those fleeing from the volcano eruption and potential future eruptions. We pray that they would find safety, that they would receive the international aid and help that they need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we offer you all these prayers, and we join them together with the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you for joining us online. I'll close with a blessing. God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and hope and love. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Thank you for joining us, and see you again next week. Go well, and God bless.